for he recognized the lie. Of course it mattered. It had to matter. If it did not, then what claim might a miserable and ungrateful Regis ever have to stand beside the companions of the hall? But what could he do? He glanced to the north, in the general direction of the fine Murata Topolino. Shasta's warning echoed in his thoughts, and he knew that she wasn't exaggerating. Paracolo was the grandfather to all who knew him, and that meant that he was the grandfather of assassins. One didn't easily attain such a title as that. Regis entertained a fantasy of returning to Delphuntal from Icewind Dale with Drizzt and the others beside him to properly repay the grandfather. It was just a fantasy, however, for Ivorbreen couldn't wait that long, and the grandfather himself was not a young halfling. Regis moved to a different track, wondering if he could indeed stop, or at least slow, the take of oysters. Perhaps if he claimed only a couple each day, Paracolo would see his gift to the Paraffins as a losing business proposition. Even that seemed a fleeting possibility, for what then would be left for Regis and his father? If he tried it, the grandfather would monitor them closely. They would have to remain utterly destitute or invoke his wrath. Regis sighed. He looked again in the general direction of Murata Topolino, but hopelessly. The situation didn't improve over the next few 10 days. With a bottle ever in hand, Ivorbreen stumbled around the tavern and the streets, covered in vomit and a multitude of small wounds, from tumbling into a chair or a wall or onto the street. He had more than a few bruises and cuts from knuckles as well, as in his drunken stupor he often insulted others. Regis returned to their room one afternoon, his pouch half filled, to find his father in a very agitated state. Broken glass and a puddle of semi-translucent brown liquid near one wall offered a clue.
"Ah, good that you're here,"
Ivorbreen slurred. He laughed and nearly fell over from his seated position near the mess.
"My legs are a bit wobbly,"
he said, struggling to stand. Regis helped him to his feet, though Ivorbreen fell immediately against the wall for better support.
"Be good, Brett, and go get me another bottle,"
Ivorbreen instructed.
"No,"
Regis replied, and hearing the word escaping his lips only bolstered his resolve. He couldn't do much about the larger situation around him, but perhaps he could resolve the problem more directly.
"No?"
Ivorbreen stared down at him hard.
"Too much, da,"
Regis said calmly.
"Eh? You're too much in the bottle, da," Regis said. "You need to slow down. More food and less drink, yes?"
He noted that Ivorbreen wasn't blinking.
"And you need to get out of this tavern. You hardly ever go outside anymore,"
Regis said, trying to sound as cheery as possible.
"Oh, but it's a wonderful season, full of sun and a cool wind off the sea. Let me get you some food. We've time before sunset for a walk to the shore."
The last word came out with a yelp attached, for in an explosion Regis had never before witnessed, so sudden and primal in its ferocity. Ivorbreen sprang at him and slapped him hard across the face, sending him sprawling to the floor.
"Go fetch me a bottle,"
Ivorbreen yelled, storming closer and stamping his foot heavily against the wooden floor.
"You little rat, don't you ever tell me what to do."
He reached down and grabbed the stunned Regis by the collar and hoisted him from the floor, lifting him right up off his feet before dropping him back down. Ivorbreen didn't let go, shaking him violently and howling at him with spittle flying. Regis hardly heard the words. He was so stunned by this abrupt transformation. Ivorbreen finally let him go, sending Regis spinning back against the room's door.
"Go!"
Ivorbreen demanded. Tears welling in his eyes, Regis scrambled out of the room. He rushed down the stairs, but didn't go to the bar. Instead, he burst out of the tavern's door onto the street. Before he had even realized his course, the young halfling found himself in the alleyway beside the fabulous Morada Topolino. He waited for the sun to set, waited for the dark of night to fully fall, then Spider began to climb. His love for Ivorbreen drove him upward. He moved right to the roof and crept to the window of the widow's walk, his vision following the moonbeams inside.
"What am I doing here?"
he quietly asked. What could he hope to accomplish? What difference might anything he did in Morada Topolino make to the death spiral of Ivorbreen? He would steal. A lot. And with that wealth, he would take Ivorbreen away to a better place and to a situation not dependent upon the whims of a heartless grandfather and an uncaring barkeep.
"Yes," he said and nodded.
He ran his sensitive young fingers around the window encasement, feeling for tripwires or other potential traps. How he wished he had a glass cutter, and even more so when he realized that the window was locked. Regis pulled a small knife from his pouch, one he used to pry up oysters stuck under rocks in the depths of the Sea of Fallen Stars. The window was divided into two panes that could slide past each other to allow the sea breeze to enter. The higher pane was inside the lower, he noted. He eased his knife into the tight crease between them. Slowly, very slowly, his face pressed against the glass below as he pushed the blade down. And there it was, a tripwire. Regis nodded, having seen this particular trap design many times in Kalimport. The movement of the sliding windows would set it off, one or the other taking the wire with it. Each pane's frame would have on it a small sharp edge designed to cut the wire when it pulled tight. Regis worked his knife around the top lip of the top pane and found just such a blade, cleverly embedded. He removed it with ease. Back in went the knife, this time tapping the locking mechanism. With a subtle twist, Regis threw the lock. Slowly he lowered the top pane. He would have preferred to lift the lower one, obviously, for easier access, but he couldn't easily get to the embedded blade on that one, for, as that pane was in front of the other, the blade would be between them. No matter, though, his name was Spider, after all, and it was a moniker he had properly earned. The window half down, Regis glanced around to ensure that no one was watching. Then up he went, climbing the side of the dormer, then twisting over, inserting himself into the room above the window. He clung there, in the room at the top of the window, for some time inspecting the floor. Likely there was a pressure trap in